Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Are yous ready? Are yous ready? Because it is sex therapy time.
Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
As always, a little ears warning with this one, especially this week, because we know the kids are off and you need to know that if you have little ears around, turn down the radio right now. You can catch this chat on our podcast. So, have you done that? Is everybody cool? We good to go? Good. Last week, we spoke briefly about how porn can impact relationships and we had such a huge reaction from listeners. We thought we'd chat about it in sex therapy today. Now, I have our relationship therapist, Rachel Cook, on the line. Good morning, Rachel.
Hiya, Jen. How's it going?
It's good. It's good. A lot of people are very excited about talking about this topic today. A lot of people on the team.
Ooh.
Do many... It's an interesting one because people have very opposing views on it, I think. Well, that's what I got from the text messages coming into the show last week when we interviewed a lady who caught her husband or her partner, sorry, her boyfriend watching porn and went down this deep, dark hole into the porn industry and turned him, in her words, so he would never watch porn again. Can I ask you, do many people see watching porn as cheating?
You know, actually quite a few still do, but I would say overall it's less and less. It still depends a lot on the demographics. You know, it's kind of a generational thing, but I would say the younger generations, because porn is so unbelievably pervasive, accessible, you know, huge amounts of it are free, click of a button on your phone or laptop. I would say that it's so common. It's just everywhere that people less and less will see it as cheating because it's okay. Almost impossible to get away from. But certainly some people still do. And I think, you know, what constitutes cheating to one person isn't cheating to another. So as we've talked about a million times before, it's really about being on the same page when it comes to, you know, kind of knowing, you know, what cheating means to you, what your boundaries are in a relationship. Because, you know, unless people have a similar basic definition for cheating, then you could be seriously not on the same page.
Okay. Is it mostly women in heterosexual relationships who view it as cheating?
I would say probably yes. But like, then again, we're looking at porn usage, you know, probably about 70% of women, it seems, view porn or certainly have viewed porn. And it's something around 95 to 99% of men. But the thing is, the research is all over the shop, Jen. You know, there's loads of research that says that porn is terrible for you and it wrecks your relationships and it stops you from, you know, it can lead to sexual dysfunction and all sorts of things. There's some research that says it doesn't really do anything to you. But basically, we don't know because it's just porn has exploded in terms of how available it is over the last, you know, 10 years or so. And basically, we just don't have enough, even though there's lots of research, there's too many aspects to try and control to really gauge how it is impacting people. So on one hand, people seem to be more comfortable in some ways with sex. In other ways, it seems that people are, you know, have more unrealistic views of body image because they're comparing themselves to people in mainstream porn. And generally in mainstream porn, people look a very certain way. So there's lots of ups and downs here. But yes, it does seem to be women who still find it in heterosexual relationships who find that more distressing to them to think of their male partner.
What are some of the ways porn has influenced or changed sex and relationships in the real world? For example,
well, it seems, I would say probably the main one is to do with there being a lot more violence and extreme material, you know, which is something that used to be seen as very niche. You know, before we had 50 Shades of Grey, sort of BDSM and sort of, you know, any sort of aggression and violence and sex would have been seen as quite niche. It would have been a very small percentage of people who would have been up for that, into that, even if they liked it in fantasy or even in porn. It didn't mean that they actually wanted to act it out. And now that has become absolutely pervasive. And I'm seeing a sort of a different kind of backlash now. For a while, we had a lot of women saying, what the hell, men are, you know, sort of engaging in, you know, slapping, spitting, even choking behaviours without any consent, without discussing that beforehand. And now I'm actually seeing quite a lot of men saying, you know, that women seem to have been conditioned by porn now, by culture, to think that men want this kind of sex. And so then men are often not wanting that, but they feel like it's embarrassing or shameful for them to say that they're not up for it. So then everybody's engaging, or a lot of people certainly are engaging in more and more aggressive, violent sex that none of them actually want to have, which is really sad.
Oh, not good. That is very sad. That is very sad. So that's negative, very negative. I would suspect for relationships, but what are some things we don't see in mainstream porn that are very normal?
There's so many great things. You know, you don't, in most mainstream porn, and I say mainstream because there's lots of ethical porn out there that has a lot more variety. There's a lot more focus on the before, the after, of you know, the actual sexual scenario. But in mainstream porn, you basically just see, you know, a small amount of kind of, you know, kind of crap storyline before you get to the sex. But you don't get to see laughter. You don't get to see, you know, how normal it is to struggle to take your clothes off. You generally don't get to see period sex. You don't get to see much lube. You don't get to see stretch marks and scars. You often don't get any discussion of consent, which is really disturbing. You don't get to see the peeing after sex. You don't get to see fishing a hair out of your mouth, having to take water breaks, getting leg cramps, you know, all sorts of things. Your pets being in the room and potentially watching. There are so many things that we don't get to see in porn that when you think about how sometimes people are viewing this for hours a day, it's going to be shaping their sense. You know, it's not to say the porn in itself is bad. It's that if something is viewed in an extreme way and there isn't anything to kind of counterbalance that, then it makes a lot of sense that, you know, certainly some people are seeing decreased relationship satisfaction. You know, in their own relationships, they're starting to have more unrealistic views of what sex looks like, or even just because they've been masturbating to a very specific type of porn a lot of the time, it can mean that, you know, sex in real life can kind of feel like a bit drab, a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah. Can I ask you then, do you think watching porn damages people's capability in relationships?
I think we're trying to figure that out at the moment, because right. As I said, on one hand, it does seem that it can, you know, normalize certain things, which can be great. It can take the shame out of sex in a way that, you know, certainly for some people who had little to no sex education, or there was a lot of maybe religion in their upbringing, you know, that there's all sorts of reasons why people might have just really poor knowledge and awareness around sex and bodies. But the thing is that most porn is terrible sex education, because it is, you know, often a very specific type of body, a very specific type of sex, a lot of aggression and violence. You're not getting to see the lead up and the sort of aftercare and the wind down. So, you know, it means that people are getting a very unrealistic view. And the average age that people see porn for the first time, that children see porn for the first time, is about 10 at the moment.
That always frightens the bejesus out of me when you say
it's
that.
It's awful. You know, it's 9 to 10 at the moment. And then there's lots of kids at the age of 4 and 5 who will be, you know, at school, and they have older siblings, older, you know, like friends at school who will have phones. And so they're seeing it. And that is obviously very, very disturbing, because how can a developing brain be able to understand process what the hell that is going on?
Yeah, we've talked about that many times. You might come back to it again, and how to deal with that. But in relationships, how would you know if porn has become a problem?
I think if it's, but you know, some people would say a very easy way to look at that is like how frequently someone is watching it. And it seems like, again, the research is kind of conflicted, because there are certain things that we can do for a lot of time, but if it's not affecting other parts of your life, then go for it. If you want to watch porn for a couple of hours a day because you've got all of that time and you don't have other responsibilities, then, you know, you know, many would say, well, do your thing. But on the other, if you're finding that, you know, you're desensitized in real life to having sex, if you're finding that you're watching porn instead of, you know, doing, you know, stuff that you need to do in terms of work and your responsibilities in life and at home, then that's a good sign, you know. Or if, let's say, instead of connecting with your partner, you know, let's say you had an argument, or even if you haven't, you know, that you're kind of sneaking off. It's once it gets too kind of secretive nature, or that you're avoiding aspects of your life. You know, if your partner is saying to you, I feel really disconnected from you, I feel like I haven't seen you, and you know that what you're doing is going and spending hours watching porn, then, you know, it's not so much the porn, it's your relationship to the porn, I would say there. So that's a good sign. And, you know, if you're finding, yeah, basically that it's an avoidance thing, or that it feels compulsive, like you can't stop yourself.
Okay. And I have to ask you, because and I don't want to put you on the spot, but you mentioned ethical porn there.
Yeah.
Which is a lot better. And you've given us websites before. But where should people go if they're looking for ethical porn? Is there a lot of it out there for people? Is there a good choice for them?
Oh, there's so much choice now. You know, ethical porn is basically where people are paid properly, they're treated respectfully, you get to see a lot of the consent, they've good working, the performers have good working conditions, and you see so much more variety. You know, and there's just a lot more variety in the type of sex that people have, the type of bodies, you know, the kind of gender expression and sexuality. And it's just usually a lot more fun because you see a lot more of that laughter and, you know, the even just the idea that, like, sometimes penises go soft, you know, and that can be fine for a while. That doesn't have to mean that suddenly this person is, you know, crap at sex or that they're a failure, you know, or even just the idea of, like, struggling to get a condom on sometimes. Not that I'm saying all ethical porn has these things, but, you know, there's just more variety in there. So some great sites are Lust Cinema, Beleza, which is Bellesa, Joy Bear, an amazingly beautiful one is A Four Chambered Heart, which is just, some of this stuff is just so artistic and beautiful and really sexy. Then we have Pink Label, Bright Desire, and then a really good one called Light Southern Cinema, which is a really sort of 70s aesthetic. So some people really enjoy that for a bit of, you know, a kind of certain sort of color palette and a good bit of pubes. So, yeah, there's loads of stuff out there. You would be amazed. And most of it you have to pay for. But this is the thing. When people accept good porn, ethical porn, where people are not being, you know, are almost certainly not being, you know, treated badly, you're going to have to pay for it. But that's a good thing to know.
Absolutely. Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant, thank you so much for that chat. I will chat to you next week.
See you, Jen.
Bye, love. And you can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. And she'll be back with us next week, like I said. So if you have any questions that you would like me to put to her, get in touch 24/7 whenever you want to email me. I am here for you, jen@rte.ie. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.